Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello.
Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires.
Twires?
I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing.
Just
say tires.
Where did we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
In 2014, a failed stand-up comic entered a contest called The Hunt for the Host. He did not win. Later, he was joined by an underperforming Oregon State fullback with a community college degree. These men, neither having earned the position and possessing no real skills, continue on as radio personalities. If you have nothing better to do on a Saturday morning, and if you can find them, maybe you can hear The Sinner and the Saint. Starring Luke Anderson.
We got a lot of gentlemen's clubs. Oh. How do you like those? Oh, hey, everybody.
Mickey Mouse, now.
It is now. Devolved into that.
And Will Darkins.
Ear or eye?
Where do you want it?
On 1080 The Fan.
Yeah. All right, we made it to hour two of The Sinner and the Saint. Jen Ellis will join us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk some baseball. We talked a lot of Blazers in hour one. If you missed any of that, you can go to 1080thefan.com and look for the podcast button. Podcast button?
Yeah.
There's a podcast button on there.
There's now a podcast button, which it was pretty much the people demanding that, could you please just put something that says podcast and I can click on it?
Yeah, and so you can thank Will Darkins for that. The podcast button on 1080thefan.com, and you can download the Les Schwab Tires podcast of Hour 1, but don't do it until after you listen to Hour 2. And then when you do download Hour 1, listen back to Hour 2 because it's going to be pretty okay.
Sure. Well, that's the best we can do.
Yeah. We talked a lot about games, well, mostly game two, not so much about game one for whatever reason, but probably because it was terrible for the Blazers against the Warriors.
I thought Scott Van Pelt said it the best after game one. It felt like a regular season game.
Interesting.
It did, dude. It was just like,
didn't have the energy.
No, not at all. Yeah, I felt like by like, what, maybe a minute into the fourth, you were like, okay, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like that.
The odd thing about game one to me was that the Blazers played awful, but were never really out of it. I mean, the game was within six in the fourth quarter. Obviously, the final score, that's a really interesting way to look at it. It did feel very regular season-y.
Dude, it was ho-hum. Lillard was on the bench with, 6 minutes left in the game. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like, okay, we lost. We're going to take the L. Yeah. But, I mean, it really just felt like, game five of last series where we just knew they were absolutely exhausted. And it was like, okay, let's
save something for game two.
Yeah, let's just try to save this.
Now game two, they obviously put a full effort in. They had a chance to win late. But Blazers in an 0-2 hole. The 0-2 doesn't feel the same as the Raptors 0-2 to me. Maybe that's just me being a little, Blazer bias. But what do you expect for game three tonight, 6 p.m. at the Moda Center right here in Portland?
I just think that it's going to be a lot of energy coming right out of the gate. I think for the Trailblazers, you're going to want to come out and take your shots early because you're not down in an 0-3 hole, which is just basically considered NBA death. You're done. There's no reason in playing any more games after being down 0-3, but you're in a situation now where you really need to take every chance that you have. You need to win one of these games at home, and this is the one.
Don't you think they need to win both, though? To have a shot in the series, I think you have to win both.
I think that you could string it out long enough, because if you do win both, here's kind of your problem. If you win both, Kevin Durant's coming back in.
That's fine. Yeah. You know, but right
I
now.
I hope that you'd win game three. If you lose game four, whatever, because I think then Golden State's like, we can keep him out for another game. And then maybe you could string it to six games. And then, you know, what happens after that? Who knows? I just feel like if we win both of these games at home, and I'm not saying I don't want this to happen, but just like if we win both of those games at home, Golden State's pressing the panic button. They're going, all right, let's get Kevin back in.
Do you really think they're unbeatable with Kevin Durant, though? I think if you rush him back and he's not 100%, I think it gives you as good, if not a better chance to win.
Who's guarding him?
Aminu.
No.
Evan Turner.
No.
Jake Layman.
Yeah, just, I mean, if you want to waste more of this segment by going down the entire roster. No, dude. No one's guarding him.
I don't know the stat off the top of my head, but they were talking about the difference in ISO ball with Kevin Durant in. If you have him coming back at 85%, I don't know. I think it disrupts what Golden State does really well without him, which is move the ball around. And I know that he can go out and score 35, but I don't think your defense has to work as hard to try and stop Kevin Durant. Yeah, he's going to get his points, but the Warriors get their points anyways.
I think if you're the Trailblazers, you need to look at this game and really make sure that guys that are open, who have open shots,
don't miss any of them.
Open shots. Chief Aminu really is the one guy who you have to place a lot of onus on when it comes to kind of being a contributor. And I know that he's playing aggressive defense on the other side of the ball, but dude, you know, honestly, when you're wide open, like, there's really no excuse. I get it that you might be tired, and I would take that into account if you were having contested shots or you were really kind of blitzing the lane and really trying to, you know, get tough points. But dude, you're wide open. You need to hit those.
Dude,
that's not acceptable.
CJ had the one late though to ice it. I mean, it felt like,
yeah,
it,
that's
you
true.
Know, I mean,
0-for-6 in the fourth quarter.
The expectation. Yeah. But I mean, Myers hit him for a wide open three. And, you know, we talked about it early on, and I think it's something that you adopted. I can't remember if it was Isaac or Suk you stole it from, because you don't come up with your own ideas.
No.
But the playoff is about stars, right? And if you want to take your team to the next level, you need to be the star that you were in the game, in the series against Denver, and that's CJ, right? If you get a wide open three, you got to knock that down. I mean, that's just having ice water in your veins. And I wonder if, you know, the series against the Warriors, I think, means a lot more to the Blazers than the Nuggets did. And CJ was pressing on a few possessions late, and he was bad in the fourth quarter. He needs to be better.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. I think, obviously, he needs to be better. But, you know, this kind of goes back to our conversation we had at the start of the show, which is that, hey, I can't have my two superstars being on
taking,
and off.
Yeah, taking a turn.
Yeah, I can't have a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing here. They need to be evenly contributing to the game. Now, I forget which playoff series against the Warriors it was however many years back, but you remember that first half where they both combined for 50 points. I mean, they ultimately lost, but it was this thing of like, oh my gosh, this is what we expect to happen. Like, this is the best possible scenario with Dame and CJ, is that they combine for 50 points. And Damian Lillard, I know that he's contributing in other ways, and I know the guy is absolutely emotionally and physically exhausted, but I mean, dude, you got to turn it on too at a certain point earlier in the game. Yep. I know that's his style, right? That's been his style in these playoffs, is he facilitates early, he gets people involved, yep, and, you know, whatever, but in games like this, where now you're kind of in a desperate situation, I'm saying that lightly, even though I did just say desperate situation, but you're down in an 0-2 hole. I think you got to come out in this game real early and take control and let the Warriors know that, dude, I'm going to get my shots. Like, I'm going to roll off of these screens and I'm shooting from 35 feet.
Score 50.
Yeah.
Go ahead, score.
But seriously, yeah, like, you have to make the effort to do that, because I think at this point, every chance that you have on the table, you got to take it.
What's your thought for tonight's game? How do you see the game playing out? You have the Blazers
a lot of
winning
energy early. I think that you'll have an okay lead heading into halftime, whether it be a 4-to-8-point lead, but I think that it'll be a lot of the same from what we saw in game two, which is ultimately the Warriors will turn it on late in the third quarter. And I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up.
The Better You Today text line 55305 has told me what will happen in the game, so I know the results. And it's right here for everybody.
Guy, you have access to that? I don't have that.
This guy says, a friend and I have gone to 8 games over the last 2 years, and we've won all 8. And we're going tonight. So it's a guaranteed win.
That yeah, that dude needs to be there then.
Yeah.
Whoever you are, bro.
Yeah. Well, bro, find me at the game. I will be there too. I've gone to two other playoff games. They've won both. I was at the four overtime game five, and I was at game two of the OKC series. So I'm two for two so far in the playoffs.
You also scared the ass out of Bill Shonley.
I did. Yeah, we terrified him.
So I forget which game it was.
That was the, I think that was the over. No, that was game two of the Thunder series.
Okay, see? Yeah. So Luke goes to his game, and then he texts me, and he's like, hey, I'm at the game. And I was like, oh, cool. And I look, and it's a picture of him and some of his buddies with Bill Shonley. And Bill Shonley looks like he's just been abducted by aliens. Like, he looks very frightened. Like,
well, we didn't ask him to take the picture. We just held him there.
You were just like, Sean.
The thing that you don't see in the picture is his feet are 2 inches off the ground because we were holding him up.
Yes. He looks completely bewildered, just like, what? Where am I? Yeah. Who are these people? Yeah.
I just go, Rip City, this old man. And then we all picked him up and then forced him to take a picture. His handlers were not happy with us.
It looks like after the photo was taken, he like pushed you off. He was like, get off of me. Yeah. Who's a what's it?
Yeah. He's got a pretty strong right hook for a 97-year-old guy.
He's 97?
I don't think so, but he looks it.
Dude, you can't be throwing those stats out.
How old is Bill Shonley?
What do you guess?
I don't know. Tell you what, we'll figure that out, and we will tell
you. I'm going to get you the answer right now.
Okay, never mind. We'll wait on that. Quicker?
Go ahead to break. Yeah, sorry. I'll get it in a minute.
You can't find it?
I'll find it in a second.
How old is Bill Shonley? Next, you're listening to The Sinner and the Saint on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. This is The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan. Luke Anderson, Will Darkins, and we are joined by our baseball expert, A's super fan Jen Ellis joins us again.
Yay!
So, Jen, you've been joining us pretty much every week. I think you and I both skipped out last week.
Yes.
But you've joined us pretty much every week since, I think, the week before the
opening like that. Day. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So you've started getting, familiar with the show, but we wanted to ask your girlfriend what she thought of the show. So we just shot a text to her. She's listening from Florida, and I asked her if she hates Will.
Yeah.
And what was her response?
Well, she's listening on the radio.com app to 1080 The Fan, and she's in Orlando, Florida. So she said, no, not necessarily hate. That's kind of a strong word. I'd say he's special.
So, special?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what my mom tells me. All the time.
No, she doesn't hate any of us. No.
So
that makes me think she hates me.
Yeah. I can
say that again.
So I said, Luke wants to know if you hate Will when you're listening to the show. And she says, ha ha, hate is such a strong word. I'd say he's special. And then a smiley face. Yeah. So, you know.
That's good. That's
I like that.
We were also talking in the break, and you revealed that you have a Doris Burke impression.
Oh, Doris. Where is she? What? I don't know if she's here or not.
I'm not going to lie. That's really offensive.
Well.
There's some listeners that are just insane.
I know.
Offended.
I'm sure we're going to get lots of hate mail. I'm so sorry for that.
Well, Doris listens to the show.
She does. Too. I know she does.
She does.
She's absolutely a big fan of mine. So I like her as well.
But she's probably in Portland. She may be.
She could be.
She may be in the rental car going, oh, let me see what they're talking about on the local sports radio station.
Those so-and-sos.
I'm going to call in. Hi, is this 1080 to the Fan? Put me on with that Jen Ellis.
Who does she think she is?
She's terrible. Where's your station?
I can't believe it. KD, how are you feeling?
We have Oakland A's news this week.
Yes, indeed.
This is part of the reason that we bring you in. One of the first conversations we had is, are the A's moving to Portland, and would you be okay with that? But we have an update on that continuing story.
Yes,
what's the latest on the Oakland A's?
Well, first I texted my brother a picture of Damian Lillard showing up in Oakland to play the Warriors wearing an Oakland A's jersey. And, you know, I mean, he's from Oakland. I thought that was pretty cool.
Did so that push you over from Warriors fan to Blazers
fan? Well, I wasn't necessarily a Warriors fan. I don't really necessarily have any kind of emotional connection to a particular basketball team, just because I don't watch it very often. But, I mean, I did go to several games when I lived in the Bay Area, so I mean, you know, I like watching them play. I like the Warriors team. But yeah, I mean, everybody in the office was like, oh my gosh, we just got a new Blazers fan. Because I was like, look who I just fell in love with, Damian Lillard.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so I texted that to my brother and he's like, oh, that's awesome. And he said, he texted back. He said, I'm also really happy about this. And he texted me the article where it said that the Port of Oakland commissioners on Monday night, they gave the team 4 years to prepare an environmental impact report for the potential building site at Howard Terminal for a new stadium in Oakland. So this is, you know, of course, we've heard all of the stories as A's fans like, oh, they're going to move to San Jose. They're going to move to Fremont. They're going to move all these places in the Bay Area. And really and truly, they just really want to stay in Oakland. I mean, you know, Oakland's losing all of the major league teams with the Raiders leaving and the Warriors moving across the Bay and whatnot. So a lot of A's fans have just been, you know, oh, God, please don't let them leave. And the whole, you know, campaign of them rooted in Oakland. And this is just such a really cool step for them because they haven't gotten this far ever in the planning of or trying to plan a new stadium in Oakland. So this is a big deal. So, but apparently they, you know, they have this plan for it to also include housing and retail and all of that kind of thing. So it's supposed to be this really incredible plan, and they just moved one step closer by receiving the votes necessary to move forward one more step. So it's like, oh God, as A's fans, we're like, yay, we're hopeful that they can just stay there and, you know, yeah, continue to be a really cool spotlight for that city. So, but, you know, I mean, if I had a dollar for every person that's told me over the last year and a half that I've lived here, oh, the A's are moving to Portland, you know, yeah, and it's like, you know, no, they're not. I really don't think they are. It would be awesome if they did, of course, but I'm thinking they're staying in Oakland. This is getting good.
It's funny because just, I mean, the details that you brought up there sound very similar to the conversations we're having here. I guess it means if you're talking to the Port of Oakland, that means it would be a stadium on the water, which
it's at Jack London Square, you know, overlooking the water. And if you Google like the renderings and stuff, it looks kind of like out of a futuristic movie. It's kind of cool looking, but
awesome.
Yeah, so crossing fingers that, you know, the next steps as they, you know, continue to move forward to get a privately funded stadium. That was the whole big deal. It was like, you know.
Well, P1 Raymond's on your side on the Better You Today text line. Guarantee that MLB isn't going to wait with the A's in for four more years if nothing else is happening. Actually, I read that wrong. He is not on your side.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That's okay. I understand.
Sorry.
I feel like at this point it's kind of like, oh, my gosh, I actually kind of, and my brother even texted me too. He was like, yeah, I actually kind of have hope. Yeah. You know, that this is going to actually kind of come to fruition.
I think it'd be great to have another. I mean, Major League Baseball keeps saying they want another West Coast team, and that's why Portland's so optimistic about getting the team. Mm-hmm. If you move Oakland up the road, it's not another.
It's not another. It's just
moving a West Coast
relocating,
team.
Right.
And I think that this does sound more promising. The funny thing is the way I heard about the story was actually Jeff Van Gundy, who does the commentary for the Blazers game. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't have heard that because how do you watch the Blazers?
Well, so I watched the Blazers game on Tuesday night. Notice how I say Blazers and not Warriors.
Yeah,
game.
Well, and I made sure that you did.
Yes. But I was watching the game on my computer while I was listening to the Oakland A's Mariners broadcast in my ears on my
So had you listened to the basketball commentary, you would have found out on Tuesday.
I have no idea what they said. Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty funny because they were playing the game and Damian Lillard's jersey.
Right.
So they actually talked about that during the basketball
game. I saw it on the screen. I was like, oh, there he is. Yeah, pretty cool.
That's pretty funny. Yes. What other stories did you see in baseball that
I mean, you know, the Mariners were having a tough go until the A's went to Seattle. So it was nice to, I guess, for Mariners fans to see them actually win a couple of games, you know. But yeah, I think I guess they beat them both times.
Yep.
But yeah,
the Mariners can only win when they get play against Oakland.
Right.
Which is
and that same thing with the Toronto Blue Jays. Apparently they cannot win unless they're playing the A's. But I guess it was on Thursday's game when the A's went to Detroit, they outscored the Tigers. It was like 17-3. And that on that same day, a bunch of other teams around Major League Baseball scored in double digits. So it was like the Rangers were like 16-1 over the Royals, and the Indians were like 14-7. and Twins were 11-6 over the Mariners. Sorry, but there were multiple games that were in double digit scores, and it was kind of interesting to see that in one day. It was kind of funny.
It's funny that you bring up the Twins just annihilating the Mariners, because I think I've decided, and I think I have permission to do this as a father of twins. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna become a Twins fan.
Yeah.
I think I'm done with the Mariners. I'll just switch over there. Portland gets a team. I'll come back.
What jersey are you gonna wear?
I should have done this 2.5 years ago. I'll just get my daughter's names on the back, right? Or I'll get a Kirby Puckett jersey.
I knew you were going to say Kirby Puckett.
I think I still have Kirby Puckett's rookie card.
Do you really? That's fantastic.
Somewhere.
Why is it that Kirby Puckett looked like a dude who just like somebody painted on that goatee?
Oh, because he did. Yeah. He painted it on. He used eyeliner.
Drew it on, right?
And just drew
There's
on.
There's no way that goatee was real. It looks like somebody, like before every game, he had some stylist just like get onto his face and just like kind of scribble one in.
Yeah. I think since we've engaged Will, I want to bring up my most baseball stat of the week. So the Padres set a major league record this week. And I want to read you the headline because I thought it was fantastic. Padres failed to throw no hitter in record 8,020th consecutive game.
Doesn't make any sense.
So, yeah, exactly. This is the most baseball stat. So the Padres have never in their franchise history thrown a no-hitter. And so by not throwing a no-hitter in their franchise's 8,020th game, they now set a major league record, passing the New York Mets for the most consecutive games without a no-hitter. Does it get more baseball than that?
No.
Something about the Padres?
What? Are they in San Diego?
Here's the thing that makes it so amazing to me is some guy was like, oh, man, they're about to do it. They're about to not throw another no-hitter. But it had to have been like somebody had to have gotten close in like recent and goes, did you know that they've never thrown a no-hitter? And then they dig deeper into the stats and go, yeah, if they can go all the way through mid-May of next year, they'll actually set the record for the most games without a no-hitter. But I wanted to throw that out to you, Will. Do you love that stat or not?
That's pretty sweet.
We have a poll on Twitter, at SinnerSaint1080. It regards the most interesting sports viewing opportunity this weekend. So we want you to go to Twitter right now. Play along on your computers at home and join us. We'll get you the results of our little Twitter poll. Next, we need to talk golf. My favorite moment from the PGA Championship so far, and I'll tell you it is not Brooks Koepka. We'll do that, some sports randoms, and then we'll get into what to watch, and we'll wrap this thing up. We'll all go start drinking and root for the Blazers.
Woo-hoo!
But first, SportsCenter update. You'll forgive me. This may not be the best radio, but I'm trying to watch Arnold Schwarzenegger get kicked in the back somewhere in Africa.
Drop kicked
in the back. I haven't seen the kick yet, but apparently it's on video. I don't know why it's a 3-minute video, but we could probably clean that up a little bit, TMZ.
You'll see it in a second.
Yeah, I'm about to. All right, Arnold. Whoa!
Dude, out of nowhere.
Yeah. That's crazy.
This guy, so Arnold Schwarzenegger is on video.
First, he's old.
He's old.
And he looks old.
He's on video. He's taking pictures with fans. It's probably some photo op thing for some event. And as he's talking to somebody, you can see on the right side of your screen, this guy just friggin' torpedoes in, goes airborne, and double drop kicks him in the back. And then at the end of the TMZ video, they... they slow it down to slow-mo, and you can see Arnold's reaction as he's getting drop kicks, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's a total blindside drop kick.
Yeah, pretty intense.
It's wild. All right, so go to Twitter, at SinnerSaint1080. We're going to send you there anyways. You're probably already there voting on our awesome Twitter poll. But yeah, you can see the link right there to the TMZ story of Arnold getting kicked in the back. That's insane.
Yeah, all right, really hard.
Real quick derail there, but that kind of fits with
it. It was worth it.
That fits with, well, hey, how often do you get to see something like that? And it's breaking news. Will, do you want to read our Twitter poll and see what the results are so far?
Yeah, I practiced all morning.
Perfect.
Here we go. You can only watch one sporting event live this week. Tickets, airfare, room, and Arby's coupons are provided for you and a friend or loved one for the entire event by Will Darkins.
That's
where
nice
would
of you.
You go?
What are the options?
We got 6% of people saying Mets at Marlins series, rightfully so. 10% say Preakness. 26% would like to see the Bucks sweep the Raptors, and more than 55%, being 58%, say the PGA Championship. I don't know why you'd actually want to go to the PGA Championship to just watch fatty muscle Brooks Koepka just sweep the leg. I mean, that's what he's doing right now. What is he, got a 7-stroke lead?
I think that's about right. Yeah. And it's only 2 rounds in and he's just crushing people. The PGA Championship is at Bethpage Black on Long Island. Mm. Preakness is in Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't want a vacation in Baltimore.
And then the series, the Bucks, Raptors, going back to Toronto. The reason I picked Mets, Marlins, it's in Miami. Mm,
dude, I'd like to go to Toronto. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Oh, Toronto would be. That would be interesting to see the, what do they call it? The Jurassic Park outside of the stadium. Mm-hmm. The fans do go absolutely crazy for the Raptors up there.
Oh, yeah.
And in response to that, the Raptors choke. So I'd like to see the Bucks up close. I think I'd probably pick that one. This is, I think, by far the least interesting of the Triple Crown races. The Preakness doesn't really matter at all.
Yeah, I don't care about any of them, to be quite honest. Well, like it doesn't do anything for me whatsoever.
The Kentucky Derby is all the pageantry.
Rich people in hats.
Yeah, but it's also Wes Welker on Molly, which is fun. But the Preakness is, if something happens at the Preakness, the Belmont becomes interesting. So, like, once every 10 years, the Belmont is interesting. But the Preakness is never interesting, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think any of them are Baltimore. Very interesting. I don't know why you're trying to pretend that these horse races are interesting.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're interested in the Triple Crown, Preakness, and I double-checked, it is in Baltimore. Come on.
Let me just give you my expert opinion here. If we're going Triple Crown, I don't think it's my last choice. That's my last choice.
Just saying.
Dude, it's a bunch of rich people in hats. That's all it is. Does the Preakness
have hats? I know the Derby has mint juleps and hats. Do you wear the same hat? If you went to the Derby and the Preakness and you showed up in the same hat, would you be ostracized from your country club?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Okay. And then, but yeah, I think I would choose the basketball series. I want to see Antetokounmpo.
Just straight up live.
I did go to a Bucks game earlier this year. That guy is just enormous, and he just moves way too fast for a guy that size. Could you imagine trying to play wing guy against him?
Mm. Yeah, you got no chance.
Yeah. I will give you a reason to go and watch the PGA Championship, though.
Okay.
John Rahm. He didn't make the cut. And he played pretty terrible yesterday. But did you catch the video or any still shots of what he was doing when Dustin Johnson was ready to shoot?
Yeah, he was taking a wee. Pissing.
Just pissing in the wind.
Yeah.
Just standing right in front of him. And you can see the cameraman going, all right, I can't move far enough to get him out of the shot.
Yeah.
Because they go, Dustin Johnson's shooting from the rough. And they just kind of pan over there, and John Rahm just goes walking in the background, just standing up next to a tree to take a whiz.
So can I ask you something about this?
Sure.
Now, you know enough about golf culture that I think you could probably accurately answer this one. So why is it that we're not having a bigger overreaction about this?
I was kind of curious why, like, the gentleman's game golf bro isn't in an uproar about this too,
because didn't they all have collective heart attacks when Phil like batted a ball that was still in motion?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They were ready to die when that happened.
Yeah. They were ready to go to his home and murder him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like seriously, I've never seen golf bros so pissed off before in my life.
Kicked out of the tournament.
Yeah. They were calling it a disgrace to the sport.
Yeah.
Ah, but you know, a dude pissing in the bushes on, you know, a course that everybody just, you know, absolutely has golf orgasms about.
Well, yeah, well, we all do that. I think all the
it's so ridiculous.
All the guys
just
like
peeing
me
on a course that we've all talked up for 3 weeks because we're golf nerds.
Yeah,
screw you, dude. And then you go after Phil for just like hitting a ball that's in motion. Like, what's your problem? Are you living in the 1930s?
Well, but I think the difference between me and my buddies peeing in the woods is that we've had 6 beers. And it's the 14th hole, and we know the restroom doesn't come up until we get to the clubhouse after 18. That seems appropriate. Plus, you're drinking, you know, Coors Light or Miller Light or Bud Light, and it just goes through. And once you break the seal, you're peeing every three holes. But this guy, I don't think, is knocking back beers while he's out there.
Not that you know.
Maybe he is.
But maybe he has one of those Camel Packs, and he's just sipping.
That's
what I would do. Golfing would drive me to drink.
Yeah.
So boring.
I think you would enjoy the game. The challenge of it. Oh, the nature of it.
Let me tell you something. When I saw Phil hit that ball in motion on that pristine and sacred course, it really made me kind of rethink my values in life. But it was pretty cute when that guy took a piss on a course that's considered, a major championship, right?
Yep, major championship.
Oh, right, that's it. Oh, but that was funny and cute. Screw you, dude.
Me?
Golf guy. I that sport and baseball to me are the two that have these unwritten, unspoken rules that it's like, who are you trying to impress? Like,
I'm pretty sure it's written down that you can't hit the ball while it's moving.
But think about it. I know that's a rule. But
there's also a penalty in place for it. And it's not expulsion.
I understand that. But I guess like the social rule of it, right?
Yeah, of course.
Like, do these people who are trying to keep golf and baseball alive understand that this is the reason you're losing younger viewers? That like they see you overreact about this and they go, what is your problem? Like, this isn't the 1930s. This isn't pre-World War II where we all think that we have sticks up our butts.
Well, the funny thing about it is your complaint isn't even with the sport. It's with the fans.
Yes.
But that's part of
the... But the fans are the sport. I mean, I'm just saying, dude, this is why so many people love the NBA. I understand that ratings were down, but you'd also like to think that that's the LeBron effect. But, like, so the NBA, to me, in terms of a fan experience, you can't beat it. You can't. You have unhinged access to athletes through their social media because they are so active on it. When you go to the games, you get to see the dudes up close. It's friggin' awesome.
Yep. They're way behind baseball in revenue. From the Better You Today text line 55305, I peed on Bandon Dunes, not into the famous wins, of course.
Who's the best team in baseball right now?
Well, the Yankees just took over the American League East lead from the Tampa Bay Rays,
right?
And you have a feeling
the Rays, right? Yeah.
Well, no, they
like they're close to it, right?
Well, they just got passed by the Yankees, and watch
What's
out.
What's the Rays' average attendance?
Terrible.
Yeah,
I think that's where you were going.
That is exactly where I was going.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Rays probably moving to Portland.
No, they're not.
Why not?
They're not, because baseball is stubborn as S.
Yeah,
Tampa Bay do this kind of stuff. Okay. They don't care, dude. They allowed them to take seats out of their stadium.
I was going to say Tampa Bay's renovation, their offseason improvement to their stadium was taking out 5,000 seats.
Like, as a commissioner, you didn't step in on that. You didn't go, whoa, hold on a second. You're taking seats out.
Yeah.
You know that's a major point of revenue for us, right?
Yeah.
Like people paying to come in.
Yeah, that's only if people go and sit in those seats. And in Tampa Bay,
I mean, why don't you just take the vendors out of that section and still keep the seats there?
I will give you this as a preview of what to watch. Will not be talking about baseball or golf. What to watch is next. And I'm guessing has something to do with your Portland Trail Blazers. We'll do that next. Sinner and Saint on 1080 The Fan.
Which is the most exciting matchup in the field of competition? Which game will leave you kicking yourself if you miss it? Which channel should you switch to when the sporting day is gone? Welcome to America's most exciting sports talk radio show segment. It's time for What to Watch. Presented by Encore Audio Video. Now hear this. Whether you're looking for a new TV or a custom home theater, start at Encore Showroom at 14th and Everett in the Pearl. Now our expert panel, avid television viewer Will Darkins, and increasingly out-of-touch father of twin girls, Luke Anderson, are here to tell you what to watch. Literally, it's What to Watch on The Sinner and the Saint. On 1080 The Fan.
The Children were laughing. I guess we know what time it is.
Time to get intense. Time to get real. Thank you, everyone, on the Better You Today text line 55305 for sharing your peeing and pooping stories on golf courses.
It's great. It's amazing. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, the more of that, the better.
Yeah, I could share more
crapping
stories.
On the
but
sport.
They're pretty graphic. You hate golf. So we know that you won't be watching any more of the PGA Championship. We know that you won't be watching any baseball.
Any more of it?
Well, yeah, you did catch the clip of Jon Rahm, at least.
Yes, I caught the clip.
Yeah, that's about all you needed to get your golf pants all tied in a knot and getting all yelling at us.
I was kind of mad about that.
You were way madder than you needed to be, but I was delighted by your anger, so I think it's all good.
Dude, I can't handle that. Can't handle it.
Tell me what you're watching for in the Blazers.
Can't have it.
Blazers-Warriors game tonight.
What I'm watching for is kind of what we were talking about throughout most of the show, which is fast, fast, fast and productive start. They need to come out of the gates and they need to be scoring early and often. And really, it's the kind of shots that like Chief Aminu had and CJ had that were wide open that, you know, they need to take advantage of early on. You know, there was one shot on the right corner that Aminu had last game that like, dude, they weren't even contesting it. Like, seriously, they didn't even have a guy like make an effort, like, you know, one of those half-assed run with my hand up things. No, they were just like, yeah, go ahead and shoot it. We know you're going to miss it because you literally have, like, crapped your pants in these playoffs. Like, he has, dude. I know Aminu's doing something on the defensive side of the ball. I really can't tell you what it is. I'm not certain. I know that the broadcasters keep telling us that every time, but I have yet to see a major impact from Aminu. So really, again, I'm hoping to see a lot of scoring early and often, and I hope that Aminu is a bigger contributor tonight.
Just waiting for Chief to carry the Blazers to a victory. You're going to be waiting a long time. I'm going to watch the pick-and-roll defense. Game one, they left the three-point available to Steph Curry, and he dropped 9 of his own. Last game, the team only had 9, so the entire Warriors team. They were running him off the three-point line, and it wasn't until late, the last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, where they're getting really easy buckets rolling to the basket. I want to watch the first quarter and see how the Warriors react to whatever the Blazers do on defense. I don't want them to make too much of an adjustment because whatever they did in the first half worked really well, so I don't know if it was fatigue or the rotation or Myers Leonard or what it was that made him so vulnerable to the right side of the floor layup line that they had late in that. But I think that is what I'll be watching for most of all in this game.
Well, I might be able to answer your question a little bit. I think it was Zach's foul trouble because that guy had 5 fouls in the third quarter. And, you know, he was making a really good impact in a way that you could see his interior defense. Dude, he is great at going straight up. Yeah. Like he...
Well, that's why he had 5 fouls.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. Wait, you got to take those chances sometimes, and he did get called for some stuff that is pretty ticky-tacky. I mean, in the playoffs, there's a lot of things that come down to just like, you know, hey, is he leaning a little bit? But throughout this series, he's played incredible interior defense, and he's been a really big difference maker. I think, you know, there's also some moments, too, while we're on the subject of Zach Collins, that Zach Collins was wide open on the three-point line, and, you know, he's trying to kind of distribute and keep the ball going. I hope to see him take some shots, because, again, I think at this point, you're down 0-2. Every chance you got, everything, you got to take it. You got to put everything out on the floor, because if you go down 0-3, historically, it's a death sentence.
Well, it's the good and bad of CJ McCollum. Not afraid to take any of those shots. You just got to hit them. All right. Before we get to what to watch outside of sports, it's a point where I'll remind you that this segment is brought to you by our friends at Encore Audio Video. If you're looking for home automation, if you're looking for an upgrade of your sound system, if you're looking for a fully automated home theater, there's no better place to start than their showroom at 14th and Everett in the Pearl. Will, what are you watching outside of sports?
Easy. Saturday Night Live. Paul Rudd is hosting.
Rudd is delightful. Is he an American treasure or what?
Absolutely love Paul Rudd. He's probably one of my top 3 favorite actors, and I think this might be the first time he's hosting SNL.
No, that can't be true. No, I can picture him on SNL.
Dude, Adam Sandler, it was the first time he's hosted like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but he's an alum, so.
Yeah, but that's the first time he's ever hosted.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Double check. Paul Rudd's been on there before, I'm sure of it. I'm going to watch the second half of the HBO documentary, What's My Name, the Muhammad Ali story.
How's that been?
I watched the first half. It was good. It's a lot of what you know, but it gets a lot more into the political side and you know, his reaction to the way that he was treated by the media. I mean, it's really tumultuous time in the U.S., so it's a reminder of the odds that were against him and the people that were against him when he was going in, winning the fight against Sonny Liston, when he was fighting, what was the guy's name? Earl Thomas. Yes, Earl Thomas. But when he's standing there going, what's my name? What's my name?
Yeah.
And how much backlash he got. And he almost took himself out of the sport and was willing to do that for what he believed in. So first half was really good. I'm looking forward to the second half.
Yeah, I always love those documentaries with sports where they can kind of mix in the socio-political element.
Yeah.
That's always the best.
Did you watch the Andre the Giant HBO documentary?
I haven't. Nope.
You should go back and watch that one too. It's really good. I was actually looking through the list because I was trying to reset it, and there's a bunch that I want to watch on there, the sports documentaries. Good stuff. All right, Blazers tonight, 6 p.m. at Moda Center. We'll talk about whatever happens this week with that series. Next week, 9 to 11 every Saturday, Sinner and Saint. We're done. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.